Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Etc. Executive Director of MBC Africa, Tenamba Samaki, is here in the studios with me. Just before I bring her on to speak to us, just so you know, Masterclass is brought to you by Goyle Good Energy. Goyle, you're on your dear. We just want to stay with us for all the things you need to know about accessing, financing, and funding schemes here on Masterclass as part of our agribusiness series. And you can feel free to participate in the conversation by calling this telephone number 0302-221-6541 or WhatsApp us on 0551-111-997. And the good news for you listener out there is that you can be part of the discussion. And guess what? Goyle will be awarding or rewarding you for participating when you call in to tell us what you've made of the agribusiness series so far. If you can share some fond memories with us and, of course, the lessons you've learned from the agribusiness series right here on Joy 99.7 FM. I will gladly accept your calls and, of course, engage you on that. Feel free to participate by asking questions that is bothering your mind here on Masterclass. Tenaba, good afternoon and welcome to the studios of Joy 99.7 FM.
Good afternoon, Pius.
Great.
Happy to be here.
Great. So, first off, I just want you to tell us about MBC Africa. Mm-hmm. What really do you do?
So, what we do at MBC Africa is we provide services to agripreneurs. You can call them agripreneurs or entrepreneurs that are on agriculture value chains. We provide them with the services they need to start or to grow their agribusiness.
Mm. And for how long have you been in Ghana?
Ooh, personally, I've been in Ghana since 2012. Mm. So this is my 11th year, I think, in Ghana. But most of my team members are from Ghana. I only have a couple of other people from other countries.
Great, great. So let's zoom in straight to the topic for discussion for the day. Mm-hmm. Accessing financing and, of course, funding schemes. Mm-hmm. And we know in a part of our world, mm-hmm. you know, access to finance is a major concern for smallholder farmers, especially mm-hmm. in the SME space, mm-hmm. etc. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the problem when it comes to accessing finance?
For agribusiness,
exactly.
Particularly? They are challenges that are linked to the entrepreneurs themselves. Mm. There are challenges linked to the environment, I mean, the other ecosystem players. And there are challenges linked to the government.
Okay.
So at MBC, we always have this ecosystem approach because we know the sources of the challenges are multiple.
Okay.
So we tend to build ecosystems. So if you take the entrepreneur himself, because for me, a smallholder farmer is a business person. Mm. It's a family business. Mm. And that's something they have to understand themselves. And if you want to access to finance, depending on your size, depending on where you are in the development of the company, you need different types of funding. So already, we do not have in this part of the world all the value chain of fundings that we need mm. if we want to invest. That is one. The smallholder farmers usually farm on very small land.
Okay.
So the volume he will be producing and the products, he's probably not getting the income necessary to satisfy a bank. Let's say what everybody knows, a bank.
Okay.
Right? Mm. So for that person, you need to have a specific type of financing to support them. Second thing they don't have that is a problem for the classical financier is what they call know your customer. You know, when you go to the bank, all these big books they make you fill in.
Yeah.
Imagine you go to the farmer, you ask him that. So they have difficulties to give proper information that will guarantee to the classical financier that they can repay the loan, because that's what it's about. You take money from someone, the person will give it to you, he's sure he's going to get it back. To do that, he will want to know, what are you doing? How much are you making? Who are you? Where are you? And these are all these know your customer issues that always come up when you have smallholder farmers. Mm. Then on the value chain, you leave the smallholder farmer, you have other actors on the value chain, SMEs,
yeah,
that are doing processing or trading or even before production, those who provide them with services, have the same problems as the other SMEs. It's the same issue. It's who are you? What do you know how to do? How much are you making? How can you guarantee you can give me my money back? Do you have the skill set to manage this company, by the way? How do you, you know,
yeah,
showcase your know-how and your market?
Mm. So in as much as, you know, these hurdles are there,
mm-hmm,
why has the bank, for example, make it so cumbersome for smallholder farmers, for instance, knowing very well the farmer, you know, wouldn't get the necessary documentations you are requiring from him or her,
mm-hmm,
whatsoever. So why is that cumbersome process related to our banks?
Because a bank holds your money and my money, her money. The bank, the money at the bank, mm, does not belong to the bank itself. It belongs to us. And there is somebody on top, the supervisor, which is Bank of Ghana, that gives them prudential ratios.
All right.
Guides them. Mm. There are things that you cannot do as a banker. That is why the conversation is very difficult, because the banker holds in trust something that belongs, that do not belong to them. They have to make sure it goes back to the owner of the monies. And the Bank of Ghana wants to make sure that there is no fault in that. And one of, and I come back to what I was saying. The smallholder farmer farms on a very small land. Somebody who's farming on 1 hectare or 2 hectares.
Mm.
I mean, we'll have, maybe he needs 5,000 Ghana cedis to produce in a season. It's too small for a bank. Because the energy you will put in giving that loan of 5,000 Ghana cedis is the same energy you will do to manage the 200 million Ghana cedis. So which one will you pick?
So how do we come to the rescue of the smallholder farmer then?
The first one is what is really the low-hanging fruit is to get together, come together, form a farmers-based organization, a cooperative, something that gives the volume,
okay,
that the banks or the other investors can look at.
Mm.
This is something that is, all that's right, the first level.
All right. And in your submission, you did say that, look, it has to do with internal and, of course, external. And
yes,
for the external, you mentioned government's,
yes,
yes, policies, etc.
Yes. Yes.
And I want to know why government's policies, for example, has become so difficult for, you know, smallholder farmers or group, mm-hmm, of farmers to access finance.
I think this goes beyond only agribusiness.
Mm.
Let's say businesses.
Okay.
When you're a young person, you start a business, I don't think the first people you want to see on your doorsteps is GRA. Because you haven't even started.
Yeah.
You don't make money, but they are already here. And the second thing is that you can't even recruit as you want, because then, again, You have a welfare system that I totally agree with, but that is very difficult in the beginning. So you will have GRA, you will have SNIT, and you have other small things that will come on board. And to be, let's say something in favor of the government. There are some policies that can help young people coming in agri, but usually they don't know them.
Okay.
And that's our role. So in most of our programs, we bring an expert in tax that will give them all the tax incentives and exemptions a young person can have as an agribusiness or as an entrepreneur. And you have some,
okay.
But they don't know, so they don't use it. And yeah.
So MBC Africa, where do you fall in all of these?
In all of this, as we call, so there's a category they put us in, enterprise support organizations. That's how they usually call us.
Mm-hmm.
So we provide the ecosystem necessary, meaning we bring capacity building, which through which it could be incubator, accelerator, or even just working one-on-one with a business, so we can help them build strategies and teams, because you can't grow if you don't have a team.
That's
if you don't have a strategy, you don't know where you're going.
Mm.
So you have to know where you're going, how you need to, and who you need to put together to go. That's one. Number two things that we bring to them is the market intelligence. It's not about just the market you have been on.
Mm.
You have to build an intelligence and identify your next market. Because that's the only way you're going to convince somebody with money that you are going to grow.
So
because if you can't tell me what is the market that you are looking at, how can you convince me that you're going to grow?
Mm.
It doesn't hold, right?
Yeah.
So market intelligence. And the third one is, how do we introduce them to technologies and innovations that will help them have better operations, for example, those who are in processing. We do a lot of research for them in terms of equipment. We even built specific technical assistant just for agri-processing companies,
okay,
because they are very specific and they need specific. We built a technical assistant just for that. And the fourth is finance.
Okay.
So the finance, I always bring it the fourth. There is a reason.
Why?
Because if you don't have these three,
yeah,
there's no reason to go for money.
Oh,
that's okay. The problem.
Oh, I see.
So when you come to me, oh, I need money. I said, okay. And then I ask you, oh, you need money. So what have you done until now?
So it's not as if MBC, comes in directly to, give out money or dole
no,
out money.
That's not really our job. But what we did is that we, first of all, when I talked to you about the adapted type of financing, we have been trying to build that value chain of financing. Sometimes directly, like we have now a financial inclusion model that we call SUBIS, which is a credit union model just for early stage and smallholder farmers, groups, and things like that. But we also work with other partners that bring other types of financing that is needed. Because when you are an innovator, let's say you are in food innovation, you need a specific type of funding to test that innovation. Does it really work? Are people really going after it?
Mm.
That you have a type of financing. Then you start the company. You need another type of financing. You grow the company. You need a. So there's not one size fit all. And that's the problem. So if we do not have as a nation that value chain of financing, it's very difficult to satisfy everybody.
I see. Mm-hmm. Listeners, I would want to remind you that you can be part of the discussion via 0551-111-999 on WhatsApp. Once again, 0551-111-9997. And of course, call us, because Goyal has good news for you. When you call in, Goyal will reward you as part of our agribusiness series. So far, what would you say are your lessons on this program? You can call us on 0302-221-6541. 0302-221-6541. So let's continue the discussion. If a smallholder farmer, for example, walks up to you to, demand your service, what will be your criteria? What would you look out for in that individual farmer?
So, number one, I will look at the crop. what crop he's doing, what is the market for that crop? Is that crop, does it have local export market? So we always start with market.
Okay.
Yeah? So he has market. Now, what is the size of the land? Really under 15 acres, I would say get together with other people that are doing the same so you get the volume necessary for the market that we're looking at, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after that, what we do if we finished, we have a group that is interesting, we will put them on our platform. So we have a platform, a digital one, through which we can link them to input providers or other financiers. But what we've been doing since 2020, we've been trying, as I said before, to create that credit union. Mm. So probably we will link you to an existing credit union in your area if it exists. Otherwise, we'll help you start one. So you're part of a network where now we can trickle down money. So the conversation with the banks will become much easier because we have risk mitigation tools that we will put in place.
Mm.
So when you will talk to the bank, it's not going to be you as a smallholder farmer, but you as a credit union member, which means you're a shareholder.
Okay. Realistically, what would you say would be the...
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Threshold when, let's say, I want financing from whichever bank you partner with, what would be that threshold?
Right now you have something interesting that is going on. You have some monies from, I don't know if I can say names here, from a foundation in different banks, and they're giving it at very interesting rates, right?
Mm.
But if you have less than 15 acres, and I'm saying this very conservatively because it depends on the crop.
Okay.
Because if you have, you're doing precision agriculture, you don't need 15 acres.
Certainly.
A quarter of acre of orange fledged sweet potatoes is a lot.
Yeah.
A quarter of acre of okra is a lot.
Yeah.
So depending on what your crop is, we can identify the minimum number so you can be interesting for a financial. But as a smallholder farmer, I really advise you to be with other people.
Okay.
Yes.
So you mentioned that you are located in Accra and, of course, Tamale.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if I'm in other parts of the regions, for example, Westain, Ashanti region, Volta region? How do I get in touch with
you? So Volta region, we're there.
Oh,
but we don't have an office, but we are there because we have some credit unions that are starting there. Same thing for Western North. We have a partner that just came in for the Ashanti region. We're going to start in Kumasi area soon. And we are, of course, in the four regions of the North, Upper West, Upper East, Northern and Northeast, and the Savannah. So we have also farmers in Eastern region, but we didn't start the credit union there. But in these areas, we're already forming them.
Okay. Yeah. So far, how many farmers have you helped?
Hey. That one is difficult to say, because even now the program we're running in the north is a lot. We work with aggregators. Yeah. You know, even in our accelerator programs, usually it's they work with farmers. Mm. Some of them work with 2,000 farmers, 5,000 farmers.
Yeah.
So really, I will have to look.
I see.
Really.
That's fine. So I just want you to tell me the red flags, for example, you tend to look out for.
Hey.
Yeah. Purposely for the listener out there, probably he wants to know.
Yeah, it's true that I have multiple hats. So when I put on my investor's hat, what I look at, especially in the farmer, is your experience as farming. I just give you a little story. I'm from the banking sector, okay? The finance sector. It's not only bank. I have like 30 years of banking, impact investing, whatever. And I think it's 2008 because I always thought that if you give money to any young person who wants to farm, he's going to be successful. So I tried. So I bought land. I even had an angel investor giving me, I think it was 20,000 euros or something. But you know that I didn't succeed.
Why?
I've been to school and I can, because farming is more about the real knowledge in how things work than just the money, the land.
So do you think that, because most of these farmers or those who tend to, you know, come to you, approach you to request for funds, etc., don't have the requisite knowledge about exactly what they want to do?
No, let's put it this way. They don't have a business approach of what they're doing. Most of them are doing subsistence farming, okay? What I would like them to do, that's why I said get together, because you need to do farming as a business. For me, it's a family business or a small business. Once you have that mindset, you will be mindful of what the financier is talking about. You know, as I usually say, it's like two people talking in two different languages. Like I don't speak Twi, but I come to you and you start plenty and me, I just understand the English and the French, and then I'm like, it's not gonna work.
Yeah.
So our job at NBC is how we find the common language, so you as entrepreneur or smallholder farmer, you understand what the finance. So you have to put yourself in their shoes.
Okay.
And it's the example I give all the time. As I said, the money in the bank is also my money. Even you, the small form holder farmer, it's possible it's also your money.
All right.
If with what you are doing and what you know, if the money that you put in saving, if I should take and give it to you, you're doing rain-fed farming, like what happened this year, it was a drought.
Yeah.
Are you really guaranteeing that risk? So even if it doesn't rain, is it possible that the money is going back one way or the other? So if you don't have this, even you, the smallholder, you will not accept that, to take that money, because you know it's your savings.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You would want some guarantee that those savings will come back. So that's the common language. How you understand how finance works and how they also have to understand how it works to farm.
Great. You're still listening to the Masterclass Agribusiness Series here on Joy 99.7 FM. Of course, we have Great Mind here to help us demystify all the issues that has to do with accessing financing and, of course, funding schemes. And Executive Director of NBC Africa, Tinaba Semake, is here with us, helping us do that. You're still listening to the program. We are back with more. Please stay. And of course, Masterclass is brought to you by Goyle Good Energy. Goyle, yera yedia. Now, tell you about Goyle. Good Energy brings you Goyle Super XP, the ideal choice for the most vehicles. It is flowing wah at many Goyle stations in the country. Just go fuel up your vehicle and enjoy the smooth ride with all the benefits. Goyle Super XP is quality and gives you the correct choice when buying regular fuel. Goyle Super XF XP is fortified with a special additive that gives longevity to your engine, make your engine perform to the max using minimal fuel, and it is suitable for most vehicles. As you journey the road, look out for GOEL stations with the GOEL Super XP sign and go fuel up your vehicle. GOEL Super XP, Ophelia, and of course GOEL Good Energy. All right, so talking about GOEL, they have good news for you. Like I said from the beginning, you can call the show, call in the show, and of course 0302-221-6541, 0302-221-6541. Tell us what your experience has been listening to the Joy Business Agribusiness Masterclass here on Joy 99.7. What the lessons have been for you over the period, and yeah, GOEL will be rewarding some great listeners who call in the show to tell us what their experiences have been so far. Let's continue the discussion. Right. So, again, I would like to take you back to government policies. Mm-hmm. What do you believe that government can do to cushion, you know, smallholder farmers in their quest to access finance in order to expand the operations, you would say?
I'm not a policy specialist, although I'm a lawyer, but there are some things they've been doing already. As I said in the beginning, because people don't really know, they don't use those policies. And the last, I think, 5-6 years, you had all the planting for foods and jobs, rearing and jobs, and fishing and jobs. I think there are some policies, especially for young people. Now, the question is how we're using it to make it work for the young people. And not everybody will have access to it anyway. And one of the things that, especially in the planting portion, is that it's concentrated on inputs, like fertilizers and things like that. And unfortunately, some of those inputs, we don't produce them locally. So one thing I would really love the government to do is to bring out a strategy where we'll have, we can produce locally these inputs.
Okay.
Like step up, upgrade our seed production, our seed sector, how they can reinforce that. So seed is produced locally, so it's less expensive for the farmers. It's the same thing for the fertilizer.
Okay.
Now, for the other element that is needed, which is the market, is I think they're trying to do something in that area too. I know of Ghana Commodities Exchange.
Yeah.
I don't know if the operations are, but how they can reinforce that, which calls for a lot of investment, especially in warehousing system and logistics. So this is also something that the government can effectively do. So these are some of the things they can do to really support the agricultural value chains.
Great. So I want you to systematically break it down for me. If I'm a smallholder farmer, what would you advise me to do right from the scratch till, you know, access the finance? Because you mentioned that accessing finance should be the last.
It's the last portion.
Yeah. So walk me through the process.
So let's say you're a young person.
Yeah.
You want to go into agriculture. You don't really know. So first and foremost, you should know. That means data. You should collect data on agriculture to identify which crop you would want to go in and what on that value chain you would want to do. Because on one single value chain, you have multiple things that you can do. It's not all about the production. Before the production, as I said, you have businesses that provide services to the farmers. And even after production, harvest and post-harvest services, you have those who need to buy the products from the farmers and process, those who trade. So you yourself, you have to know where your passion lies. What is that you want to do? And when you identify that, you have to dig in and sit and be very, very honest with yourself. What are the skill set that are needed? Do I have them?
Okay.
If I don't have them, how can I get it? And believe me, there are plenty programs around, free ones. But you have to know what you need to identify the right program, not just go to any program because it's coming by. You need to identify the programs that will give you the skill set that you need to be successful in what you have identified.
That's fine. So yeah. I just want us to, you know, mm-hmm. Have this conversation realistically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let me take you to my hometown, for example, in the Volta region.
I love that region.
You do.
There's water.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. So yes. On a bit about data, mm-hmm. how do you convince my granddad mm-hmm. to, you know, collect data mm-hmm. as old as he is?
We did.
You do?
We did collect data on, I think, 600 farmers to date in the Volta, and we're continuing. And it's because the way we do it with people from the community. So what we did is that in each area, each region, we have what we call business development assistants. Okay. These are young people that we trained.
Okay.
Yeah. So they can collect data and also provide support to the farmers. Right.
Mm.
So it is somebody from your community that is coming to collect information. It is not me, the Nemba. So that is the first, because it has to be in Ewe,
yeah.
for example.
Yeah.
I don't speak Ewe.
Mm.
So I've discovered that even if you have somebody translating,
Ewe,
that person can, So it's good to have someone that is well-educated, but is also an Ewe, and understand and how to ask the questions, because some questions can be problematic.
Yeah.
So you have to, because we collect biometric data,
mm.
meaning the person, we also call the Ghana card, but also data on family, data on production. How many acres do you own yourself? But how many acres do you farm on? What was the yield the last 2-3 years? So it gives us an idea of how much you made.
Okay.
And these are the informations that the banks want.
Okay. So from your end, do mm-hmm. you get to track the progress after all said and done for...
That's the most difficult part.
Why?
Because
why
if you don't give them money, they don't want to talk. Because in their head, you came, you collected data, and then they didn't get money. So why do you come again to see what they're doing? It's a mindset issue.
All right. But in this case, I'm referring to those that you've, you know, gone
yes,
after
those
to
who have exactly money. So they you have progress. You have a monitoring process. It's the same thing. It's digital.
Okay.
Right? So, and they monitor even the production cycle. So normally, if you're producing maize, 1 or 2 months later, your maize should be at a certain level,
okay.
right? If you don't have any issues like diseases and stuff, so the maize should be at a certain level. And we should even start having an idea of how the yield is going to be. So we have team members that can do that for maize, rice, soybean, horticulture. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, listeners, I would want to advise you to call in now for us to, you know, you know, award you for listening in so far, your takeaway, what it's been so far for you as part of our agribusiness series here on Masterclass. We need 3 winners only. So you have now till 2:30 to do that. Yeah. To call in and of course share your takeaway with us here on Joy as part of our agribusiness series. All right, so we'll be waiting for you. All right, so after all said and done, as a smallholder farmer, what is the expectation from you and of course the larger community?
First and foremost, I don't think people should stay smallholder farmers.
Why?
Because by definition, if you want to increase your income, you should either increase the land you farm on or your yield. And even the yield increase has a limit. So as I said in the beginning, if somebody starts farming on, let's say, 3 acres, 5 acres, I expect them to be doing 3 times that in 3-4 years. Because that means it's a business mindset,
yeah.
right?
Mm.
And when we say we want to take people out of poverty or increase their economic status, it's linked to that. So if you stay smallholder, it's difficult. You have a certain level of income. So my expectation is that people will go from smallholder to medium size, and some will become commercial farmers, but not all.
Great.
But some will become at least mid.
All right. Yeah. I'm told we have a caller on to speak to us. Good afternoon, and tell us your name and where you're calling us from.
Hi, my name is Jerry. I'm calling from Accra.
All right, Jerry. What would you... All right.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much. I enjoyed this discussion, especially on the smallholder farmer, you know, comment on how a smallholder farmer who is probably on a one hectare, 2 hectare, is able to access finance. Yes, I think that is the difficult aspect, because if you look at what commercial banks require, as you mentioned earlier, if a smallholder farmer is looking for 5,000 cedis, and then the commercial farmer has to use the same energy and time to appraise this.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.